All right, everybody, join me in Luke chapter 19. We're going to jump right into the text in just a moment. My name is Mike. I get to serve as lead pastor of our church. And I want to take a moment and say a big welcome to all of you who are with us for the very first time. Welcome to Life Point Church. Can we give it up for our first-time guests or those who are watching, tuning in for the first time? We love you so much. Thank you for being a part of our services today. No matter where you're watching in the world, we are one church in thousands of locations now, thanks to technology and also everybody staying at home. We found that our biggest campus was a family of eight, okay? So we're so thankful that, anyway, that joke was funnier in my head. Hey, if you're at the Rossview campus, we want to say welcome to you. And many of you are here for the first time, and we want to say a big welcome to you as well. But wherever you're watching in the world, do me a favor and just chime in on the chat feature there on Facebook, YouTube Live, or on our website. And just tell us where you're watching from. We'd love to see that. And we've got new countries coming online every weekend, so we're so thankful to have you as well. We are in week three of our summer series called Family Favorites. It's our Father's Day weekend message. I'm very excited to preach this message. It's actually one of my favorite sermons I've ever written, heard, or gotten to preach, in fact. It reveals the heart, I believe, that God has for our church as we move forward. And if anything has shaped us as a church over the last 10 years, it has been our desire to be a church where anyone is welcome to have their lives changed by Jesus. Can I hear a big amen, everybody? Let me say it one more time for the people in the way back. We are so thankful to be a church where anyone is welcome to have their lives changed by Jesus. Can I hear a big amen? So during this Family Favorite series, we asked you in a survey a few months back, we said, who were some of your favorite speakers and what were some of your favorite messages? And top two speakers that you selected, Pastor Wayne Francis, who we got to hear from for 2 weeks, and then also Pastor Dino Rizzo, who we got to hear from a couple weeks back. And then some of your favorite messages came up. One was the message I did last week on the parable of the buckets, that instead of trying to Christianize every compartment of our life, like how do I get my job more Christian, how do I get my money more Christian, my family more Christian, just do life with Jesus and let him have his way in all those areas. And so that was last week's message. If you missed that, please go online and grab the podcast and listen again. And today, probably one of my all-time favorite messages that I've ever preached, and I don't think I've ever actually preached it from the stage. I shared this with our dream team, and it made such an impact on our volunteers, our dream team, that it came up so much in the survey, and our preaching team realized that this is one that really needs to go to our whole church, especially as we are continuing to grow and looking into the next decade of leadership here. So this is a message that I've called Let Them See Jesus out of Luke chapter 19. Now, how many of you would say you are a fan of outsiders, like the stories of underdogs and the stories of outsiders? I remember growing up, I loved the movie The Goonies. Some of you youngsters don't even know what life was like. Hanging out with no phones, just getting lost in caves and Chester Copperpot. Like, you just need to know some things. Skeletons and whatnot. Back to the Future, my oldest two daughters and I are watching the Back to the Future series, and that's the story of an underdog, right? That's the McFlys. McFly! Anybody hear McFly? Biff, get your hands off her. I don't know why he sounded like, anyway. So, my family, my brothers and I specifically, I've just always kind of felt like a misfit and an underdog. I mean, we've kind of always had that story. If you know anything about me, you've heard me share this in various ways, but as a kid, my brothers and I were misfits. I was the youngest of three boys with a single mom. Shout out to single moms. By the way, every year at Father's Day, I always gave my single mom a card. And so shout out to you, Mom. Happy Father's Day. We were normal boys in that we broke everything. We ate everything. We burned a lot of things. Fire was just fun for us as kids. I don't know why. I've gotten over that. Don't worry. I'm not like an arsonist or anything like that. We did not respect authority. We got in trouble a lot. Probation officers were our friends. At one time, we had a neighbor. We lived at the end of a street on a dead end, because how many of you know that's where misfits live? Amen, everybody. And this neighbor came up the street one evening just to reprimand us, completely unprovoked, probably by things we had been doing, you know, regularly. One of our favorite things to do, by the way, was bottle rocket wars with unsuspecting neighbors. We didn't do it with each other. We threw them at people's front doors until they came out. And the goal was to try to get them to come out and then hit them when they came out. That's terrible. I don't recommend that. This is why I have a court record. You know what I'm saying? This neighbor comes up the street one time. His name was Harold. He was about 70 years old. And he walked all the way up the street, like 10 houses up the street, just to confront my brothers and me about how bad we were in the neighborhood. Talk about misfits. I mean, he yells for us from the road, Burnett boys, get out of here. And we're hearing this yelling from the street. We go out front, and he's standing out there just to tell us how much he couldn't stand us and how much we were bad kids and we were responsible for all the bad in the neighborhood, probably mightily true. And he said, "You're the reason people are moving out of our neighborhood." Thank you. I mean, we've just always been misfits. I've told you this story before. When I was 7 or 8, my mom and the three of us were kicked out of church from the pulpit. The pastor said, "You guys aren't godly enough." We were at an apostolic holiness church where you couldn't do anything wrong, right? And we just weren't holy enough. Our edges were too rough. And he kicked us out from the pulpit. I guess I've been a misfit for a very long time. I'm big. I'm loud. I tend to work with people who are small and verbally disciplined. In high school, I was 6'6 at 250, and that was 114 kilograms for all you international watchers. And I never played sports once I got into high school. I sang in the choir. I didn't wrestle. I danced and sang in musicals. You know, I never broke a forearm or dislocated a knee in the back row of the choir. Come on, somebody. I ticked off all my coaches because they were my history teachers. You know, they'd say, "Burnett, if I can just get you on the wrestling mat." I was like, "Sorry, dude. I got musical practice. I don't have time for that." But we all live around misfits, and there's something about being a misfit in the world we live in. And in the church world, we have our own sets of misfits, don't we? I mean, think about it in Bible times. The Bible brands people like lepers and epileptics and people with diseases, issues of blood, unbelieving Philistines, Samaritans, or Gentiles. We have all these labels for misfits throughout the Bible. And even today in the religious world, we have misfits in our culture, people who don't fit our politic, our paradigm. They don't see things the way we see it. They don't seem to have their stuff together. We feel it especially in the church world, right? For some of us, it's people of different faiths, people of different ethnicities or skin color. We still stigmatize the pregnant teenage mom. And of course, we know the discomfort of not knowing how to engage people based on their dating choices, who they live with or who they love. And we've got all these different reasons to categorize people that don't fit with us. But here's what I'm convinced of, that many of the people that you and I may consider to be misfits, actually Jesus loves, considers his creation, calls them sons or daughters, and says, "I would love to be in fellowship with them." That he desires to be a part of their lives and that they would become a part of our community of faith, the body, the church. They may not have their stuff together, but Jesus loves them deeply. And see, when we get into the story of Zacchaeus, we're going to see a guy who was a misfit. There's a prevailing mentality among church people, and I want to disavow all of you of this mentality. Everybody listen to what I'm saying right now. There's a prevailing mentality among church people that church is for church people. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. There's a prevailing mentality among Christians that church is about gathering for church people. And then we look at how we gather as church people based on our preferences, our predilections, our predispositions. We say, "Is it part of my denomination or a denomination I agree with? Does it meet my preferences? Is that a preacher that preaches so that I can get fed?" I will. "Is it my style of worship? Do they look like me? Do they have my skin color? Do they make me comfortable?" I'm always amazed at people who shop our church based on whether or not it fits them. And there is a misconception among Christianity that church should be about what fits us. But I believe church should be a place for misfits. I believe church should be a place where people from all walks of life, all backgrounds, all baggage issues, all lifestyle choices can come and meet the Lord that we all say that we love and worship and honor. Can I remind you of when your life was jacked up? Well, some of y'all don't even remember them days, do you? Can I remind you of when your life was jacked up before Jesus? When you weren't a fit. And let me just say, church is not just for church people. Church is specifically a place or a group where God can reach those far from God. Where he uses church, he uses people empowered by the Spirit, equipped by the leaders to reach people far from God. Ephesians 3:10 says like this, that through the church, the body of Christ, not the building where we gather, that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to this world. It's through us that people far from God can come near to God. It's through our mouths, it's through our testimony, it's through our witness, it's through our gatherings, it's through our lives that people far from Christ can come to know him. And if that's not your disposition towards coming to church, can I ask you to please get your heart right? Because that's the kind of church we are. We say we are all about changed lives, which means if we want to see changed lives, we got to have broken lives that need to be changed. We're not going to be a church that says, get your life together, then you can come. We want to say, just get dressed and come on. Please get dressed. That's the only prerequisite. Just come on, and we'll let Jesus mess with you. And I'm telling you, the heart of that comes from this story of Zacchaeus. I'm going to take you back to Sunday school for some of you. We're going to look at the story of Zacchaeus, who was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Come on, y'all remember that song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Okay. Worship team's done. There's no more singing. Luke chapter 19 tells the story. Is that a heckler? Some like 10-year-old heckling me? Bring it, son. Hey, actually, I need kids to be on alert because I want you guys to help me at the end of the message. I'm going to bring you up here for a little church play. We're going to do a church play together today. Here's what we see from the story of Zacchaeus. That people in this world are desperate to see Jesus. Do you remember when you were desperate for Christ? How many of y'all remember those days? How many of you need to grow in desperation for Jesus again in your life? Do you remember the time when you were like, oh God, if I don't have an encounter with you, I don't know what this life's going to bring for me. And I'm just convinced that there are people all over the place that are desperate to see Jesus. Watch this in Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. Now Jesus is traveling from Luke 9 to 19. He's going from Galilee up to Jerusalem, which is actually south, but they considered everything from Jerusalem. It was the northernmost place of the known world for them. So he's traveling to Jerusalem, and look what it says in verse 1. He entered Jericho and was passing through. Can I just tell you, Jesus don't ever just pass through. He never does anything, oh, by the way, I happen to be in Jericho this afternoon. I might as well stop at the local Denny's. You know what I'm saying? Like Jesus doesn't just pass through. It's not like a stop at a gas station. Man, I really need to fill up the old goat out there and get some Fritos. And behold, we should start all sentences like this, remember? Behold, it's Father's Day. Amen, my man right there. So behold, Luke says, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Everybody say Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. Now, it's interesting that Luke describes Zacchaeus this way for a number of reasons. Most people will acknowledge Zacchaeus was a small guy, and we see that in just a moment. By the way, I want to tell you, all first century men were pretty small. I've been to Israel twice, and every time I go, I knock my head on some ancient doorway. Ancient people were just smaller. I think if I lived in ancient Israel at this size, I probably would have had a rock in my forehead and David standing over me with a sling writing a psalm about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, ha ha, take that, Goliath Mike. In fact, my first trip to Nicaragua, they nicknamed me Goliato. I'm not offended, but I'm just saying they kept snickering, let Goliato carry it, which is Spanish for Goliath. Okay, anyway. Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Notice what it says about him. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Now, Jesus is happening to pass through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified, by the way. And on his way, he stops through Jericho. And there's a man there named Zacchaeus. And look how Luke describes him. He was a tax collector. Automatically, he is an absolute outcast dirtbag. And he was very rich. Now, the issue is not his wealth. It's how he got his wealth. It's from being a tax collector. Let me explain to you how tax collectors got their money. Zacchaeus was a Jew. Okay? Zacchaeus was a Jewish man who was hired by Rome. You got to remember, we're in Roman-occupied Israel. Rome has occupied Jericho. Rome has occupied Jerusalem. Rome rules Israel right now. And Zacchaeus got a job for the occupier, and he's a tax collector for Rome. Guess who he's collecting taxes from? The Jewish people. He's an extortionist. He's taking taxes from his mom, his dad, his grandparents. He's taking taxes from all of his Jewish friends, everyone he went to high school with. I mean, everybody knew Zacchaeus as the little dude in high school, and now he's a tax collector. They went from being friends with him and having the same faith to hating his guts. Tax collectors were hated because they were known to extort Jewish people to do what? To build Roman roads, Roman temples, to build Roman coliseums, to build shrines to pagan Roman deities. So literally Zacchaeus' job was to take money from Jews in order to propagate this Roman pagan society. And guess what he got? He got a little cut off the top. And for Zacchaeus to be described as rich, notice he's the chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was very good at his job. He would be the muscle to come to your house. If you didn't pay your taxes right, he made sure that your taxes were paid on time. And he got a little cut off the top. So he was very rich. He'd taken advantage of his own people. And now, notice what it says about him. He was a traitor. He had accepted this job. These were self-inflicted wounds. But he was a thief. He was a traitor, an extortionist, like some people that we despise in today's culture. But look what it says in verse 3. And he, notice in verse 1, Jesus was happening to come through. And here's this tax collector. Verse 3 says, he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Isn't it interesting that the one that all of us would say is an outsider, has no business around Jesus, actually had a heart for Jesus, actually had a desire to know Jesus. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but look at this. But on account of the crowd, he couldn't see him. Why? Because he was small in stature. Here's where we get that Zacchaeus was a small man. So here's what he did. So he ran on ahead of the crowd and he climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus because Jesus was about to pass that way. So imagine the scene, and we're gonna act this out in just a minute. Kids, stay close. I'm about to use you as a church play. Every grandparent loves when their grandkids are in church plays, and we're about to put one on in just a minute. Jesus is happening to pass through Jericho. Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector, filthy rich, extortionist. Nobody likes him. And he heard about Jesus. Wonder what he heard about Jesus. Maybe he heard this Jesus is the one who transforms hearts. Maybe he heard that Jesus is the one that saved Matthew. If you read your gospel, Matthew, that was written by a guy named, used to be named Levi, who was once a tax collector. When Jesus met Levi, he goes, leave that tax booth and come follow me. And then he became one of the gospel writers. Maybe he'd heard about Matthew's conversion. Maybe he'd heard that Jesus was a miracle man. Maybe he knew that he couldn't face his own self in the mirror anymore because he extorted everyone that mattered. Maybe he was looking at Jesus as money bags. Who knows? But for some reason, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He was desperate to see Jesus. And here's what happens. People end up blocking us from Jesus. People are blocked from seeing Jesus. Now watch what happens. Go back to verse 3 and 4. On account of the crowd, he couldn't see Jesus because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up a tree in order to see Jesus because Jesus was about to pass that way. Can I just ask you, when's the last time you got so desperate to have an encounter with God that you did something this crazy? When's the last time you were so eager to have a moment with Jesus that you did something crazy like show up in a tree outside the church house or go among people that you don't belong with or that don't like you, but you heard there's a revival happening there? When's the last time that any of us have done that? Can I just tell you, our world is full of people that are longing to see the real Jesus. The problem is there's crowds in the way of them. There's church folks in the way. There's gatherings of people who are going, you can't come here. You can't fit here. Just imagine the scene. Zacchaeus is a small dude and he's trying to see. And all this crowd just starts shouldering up. Get out of here, Zacchaeus. You thief, you extortionist. Get out of here, man. This is our crowd. Or maybe they were trying to push him out. Or maybe they just refused to acknowledge him. Zacchaeus who? I don't see. Do you hear somebody yelling to get up in the front of this crowd? I got to be honest. Sometimes the people who are desperate to see Jesus are simply blocked not by Jesus, but by those of us who are familiar with Jesus. Sometimes we are the crowd standing in the way of those looking for Jesus, and it's our predispositions, it's our convictions, it's our politics, it's our upbringings, it's our comfort zones that refuse to make room for people to come here because we don't want to make room for them. I'll never forget the first time we dedicated a baby here for a single mom. And the questions that some people gave me, like, are you really gonna do that with a single mom? I go, why would we not dedicate a child born to a single mom? What in the world, why would we punish this child or this mom and say, do you promise to raise this kid to serve Jesus? Are you kidding me? And we limit people by our own predispositions, or I wasn't raised that way. Well, you need to get born again and re-raised, some of us. You know what I'm saying? Like, how you were raised does not change how God expects us to be. I think of countless stories of people that I've talked to over the years who want to come to LifePoint. They've literally called, emailed in, checked in with us. We've got countless stories as a staff of folks who are saying, hey, I've heard about your church. I've checked you out online. I've watched some of your messages. It's great. And they said, but here's my issue. Here's my skin color. Here's my marital status. Here's my dating habits. Here's my lifestyle choices. And they'll name all these different things, or they'll say, I'm from this background. Do you welcome folks from this religion? Their sin condition, their struggles. I've literally had multiple people tell me, man, I believe in your Jesus. It's his people I don't like. Or they've said things like, I'm afraid if I walk in that building that the building itself would fall in on me. I got two friends of mine right now that keep telling me that's why they won't come to church here. Man, if I go to that church, I'm afraid building's gonna fall in on top of me. I had somebody tell me 2 days ago that their daughter was afraid to come to church here because we would judge her and because we would shame her. And this crowd that we've become, and we get so excited about being a large crowd and a big church and a growing church online. But can I just tell you that our world is full of misfits who desire enough to see the Jesus we worship. And they're searching church websites. They're watching our social media. They're cautiously observing how we gather into crowds, just wondering if this would be a place that would welcome them to get close to the Jesus we profess, or will we shoulder up and block them too? They'd rather watch us online than come in the room because they've been rejected so many other times. I think of that young single mom kicked out of the church from the pulpit because of how she was dressed. Because she wouldn't cut her hair, let her hair grow. And how many ways do we do that in the church world? Does anybody know what I'm talking about besides me? Listen to me, Life Point. We absolutely have to know there are people in our town and in our world that are desperate to see Jesus. And we must never be a people that block them. Never. I don't care about your predispositions. I don't care about what you believe. And what you're, by God, we're sticking to it. We're not changing unless the weather does. How about we just let people meet the Jesus that's messed you up and let him mess them up too? Well, they need to get their act together. They're not coming in here dressed like that. They're not coming in here wearing that, looking like that, with that person on their hip. Really? Can I give you a little secret? Some people say, oh, I want to go to church with a pastor, well, they believe what I believe, and he makes me feel comfortable. Well, hang out with me in person. I will not make you feel comfortable. Can I just tell you something? I don't agree with everything you agree with. I'm looking at some of your clothing choices right now, and I definitely don't agree with some. Dude, come on, man. What's up with that plaid? You know what I'm saying? I'm just kidding. And you don't agree with everything I agree with. Because you know what? I'm not Jesus, so it doesn't matter. Who cares? We're all trying to get connected to Christ. And yet we keep blocking people out of the way of Jesus. I think the crowd in this story are church folks. Man, they're the ones who knew when Jesus is showing up, we're getting our palm branches out. We're getting our hymn books. No, not hymn books. Get the choruses out. No, by God, get a guitar. Jesus is like, none of y'all can sing anyway, so shut it. Here's what I believe, though. Seeing Jesus will change your life. I don't know about you, but I remember when I met the Lord. I was 17 on Halloween. I was the misfit. I was invited as the project. I thought she was flirting with me. She just wanted me to go to heaven. There's hope coming when Jesus comes by. I mean, can you imagine if Jesus were coming through Clarksville and it got out on the Scoop Clarksville Facebook page? I'm just going to tell you, social media and I are about to have a divorce. We are about done. I'm about over you, social media. But could you imagine if the local news picked up, Clarksville Now picked up, hey, Jesus Christ is coming through Rossview Road. Could you imagine the crowds that would gather and then the Zacchaeus on the fringe of our property, desperate to see him. And all of us church folks would be like, I'll get the front seat. Ooh, I'm going to put on my Sunday best. Ooh, I hope they sing my songs. And all these Zacchaeus are just standing on the fringe going, I hope there's a place for me too. Maybe I'll get in Chip's tree across the street. There's hope coming when Jesus comes by. Zacchaeus had heard of Jesus. He heard about Jesus loving people and changing lives and healing women and healing men and raising the dead. He even loved filthy, rotten scumbags like him. He extorted his own grandmother, and yet Jesus would have a place for him. And this huge parade, and this little guy couldn't see Jesus, so he runs ahead, which is completely out of character for a wealthy, dignified man, to run, then to climb a tree. And don't forget, he does it in like a man dress. So could you imagine being under the tree going, hey, Zacchaeus, man, what's up with that, bro? Come on, please, bro. Some of you got that. Some of you are like, did he just do that? Well, what kind of church is this? Man, talk about undignified. But there's a desperation when Jesus comes by. I'm telling you, I pray this a lot on Sundays. I say, God, I covet the presence of the Holy Spirit here. That's one of my prayers for services on Sundays. I covet the presence of the Holy Spirit because I believe people like Zacchaeus are going to wander into this building And they're going to do undignified things and say undignified stuff and cuss and love. I always love it when somebody's like, man, you're one blank of a preacher. I was like, thank you. I feel so complimented. They'll always apologize. Oh, sorry. I'm like, bro, I've heard that before. I'm 40, okay? Watch what happens when Jesus came to that place. Because now we got Zacchaeus in a tree. So when Jesus passes through, what does it say? He looked up. And Jesus said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus didn't go, Jesus, hey, over here, rattling the branches. But he's just in a tree. He got above the crowd of religious folks. And Jesus saw him and calls to him, Zacchaeus, hey, hurry up and get down here, for I'm going to stay at your house today. And all the religious people's minds exploded. They're like, what? I'm coming to your house today, Zacchaeus. And his response, great response. So he hurried and he came down and he received Jesus joyfully. But watch the crowd. When they saw what was happening here, Jesus calls to Zacchaeus. He runs down, they embrace, he grabs him joyfully. They started grumbling and complaining and murmuring. And look what they even said. Luke quotes him. He goes, he has gone in to be with the guest of a man who's a sinner. Isn't that a typical churchy response? That pastor had a meeting with somebody who's fill in the blank. I'm trying to remember kids are in the room. I don't want any of you to go home and your kids are like, your four-year-old's like, Daddy, what is this? Pastor Mike said it. And then I'm in trouble. The crowd, the same crowd that wanted to see Jesus, look at me. Same crowd that wanted to see Jesus is the crowd that blocked Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus and then complained when Jesus saw him. And then Zacchaeus, he didn't even acknowledge the crowd. He stood. Can you imagine? He stood up face to face with Jesus. And he said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I will give to the poor. And then look what he says, and if I've defrauded anybody, I will restore it fourfold. Now, you got to understand the context of the Bible to know why this is important. Everyone in the Bible knows you just give 10%. Tithing is the way. And Zacchaeus goes, man, you can have 50%. I don't even care anymore. Everything I got, 50% of it's gone. That is a life change. That's not somebody who fit into a religious box. That's a guy whose life got wrecked. He went from the minimum 10% to I'm going to give 50%. And then the Old Testament demands if someone steals from you, they have to repay it back twice over. And Zacchaeus goes, no, if I've stolen or defrauded anybody, I'll pay it back four times. That is the proof of a changed heart. This is not something that the religious crowd demanded. Well, if you're going to be around Jesus, then you got to get four times as much, and you got to get 50% of your income back to the poor. Out of his own heart, a transformed life, a changed life, Zacchaeus was so wrecked by Jesus, even though the crowd is murmuring about him, he didn't even pay attention to those people. He said, God, all that you need, you can have it. If it means I can do life with you, because Jesus said, I'm coming to your house today. And look what he says, verse 9, Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house. Watch this. Since he is a son of Abraham, that's family language. That's saying he's one of us, guys. Watch what Jesus says. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Can I just tell you, are you kidding me? The misfit has room with Jesus, the misfit who was pushed out by others, rejected by the crowd, murmured about. He had life change with Jesus. Can I tell you, real salvation means real changes. We say, well, if they get their act together, they can come here. Just let them come and let Jesus change their life. Nobody preached to Zacchaeus what he needed to do. God did that by the work of the Spirit in him. Zacchaeus didn't just feel better or have a great Sunday. Meeting Jesus wrecked him forever and changed him completely. He did more. He did better. He went further in his repentance than anyone we've ever seen in the gospel so far. When Jesus changes a person, they're changed forever. God doesn't just save us. He transforms us. He wrecks our lives. And that's my hope for our response to this sermon, that we would make sure that the misfits that are coming always get a chance to see Jesus, and we never block them at the door or meet them at the lobby and say, no, you're not welcome here. But we always get out of the way to make sure that Jesus sees them and they see him. So how do we leave this text? How do we leave this text? I need some kids up here. Come on, Pastor Evan, help me out with some kids. I just need about a dozen kids. Just come up here. I want you to help me. We're going to finish this sermon out.
All right. Need a couple kids. Yep. Right on. Come on.
Come on up here. We're going to have a play.
Need a couple
kids. Of course, I need a tree.
Of course, we need a tree. Yep.
If you'll put that over there by that podium.
Need a couple kids. Yep.
There you go. Just keep going. A little further, a little further, a little further, a little further.
Yep. Get up there.
Come on, kids.
Come on. Come on.
All right. We're going to have a good old-fashioned church play.
Right here. You want to come? Come on.
Y'all remember church plays back in the day? Come here, kids. Over here.
All right. Come right to the middle of the stage.
Come on, little man.
Yep.
Come right over here to the middle. Get in a big huddle. Get in a big huddle. Come here, man. What's your shirt say? Tasty Waves. Come here. You're Jesus. I need Jesus in a Tasty Waves.
Come on, right over here, man.
All right, I need this guy in the blue shirt because he's Zacchaeus.
Right, you're going to be Zacchaeus.
I need you guys to be the crowd. Come on, crowd up. Come here, Zacchaeus. Tasty Waves. Scoot over just a little bit.
And, of course, Zacchaeus loves some money. He could only see, so.
Come here, Zacchaeus.
Got our money glasses here.
Okay, crowd. I need y'all to be tight. Huddle up. Crowd up. Get in tight. Come here, my man. Hey, brother. Here we go. Just stay right there. There you go. Perfect.
Come on.
Tighten in. Tighten in. Jesus, stay right over there. Come on.
Right here.
I want to set the scene. It's church play, everybody. How many of y'all remember church plays? This is like parents and grandparents' favorite days of the year. Best way to grow your church, throw a play. How you doing, Zacchaeus? Hey. How you doing? Good? You excited? You don't know what you're doing yet, do you? You want to talk later? We'll talk. Okay, there we go. All right. So here's Zacchaeus, wee little man. And then I got the crowd. Got my tree. Hey, it's okay, little lady. Come on now. How we doing, Jesus? Hey, what's your real name?
Toby.
Toby. I like this shirt, except it has a cat on it, which I'm allergic to. Emotionally allergic. I'm emotionally allergic to the shirt you're wearing right now. Can we just turn you around real quick? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay, Jesus, can you see Zacchaeus right now? No, you can't. No, say no. Can you see Zacchaeus right now? Okay, why? Because this crowd's in the way. Now watch. I want all this crowd to look at Jesus. All you guys look at Jesus.
Right here.
Look at Jesus. Hey, Zacchaeus, can you see Jesus over there? So here's what we're going to do. Come here. Come here, Zacchaeus. We're going to climb up in sycamore tree. Now I need you to hold this branch. Hold it right there. Now look over there. Jesus, come down just a touch. There we go. Can you see him now? Can you see him? Isn't that great? Can you see him? You want to go higher in the tree? Oh, there he is. You see Jesus? You see Jesus over there in the orange shirt? It's the kid with the cat. Say yes. Say yes. We need a new director for this play. This is not. So watch. Watch the crowd. Watch the scene. Jesus is passing through Jericho, and a crowd has assembled. Zacchaeus couldn't see because of the crowd. Notice here, crowd's blocking his view. But he had to get in this tree. I'll just be the tree. Here, kid, here's your tree. There you go. Now you can see Jesus. And watch, remember what happened. Jesus saw Zacchaeus and said, come here. So Zacchaeus gets down. And he runs over to Jesus. Come on, run. Put your arm around him, Jesus. Act like your friends. Life change. Come on, somebody. Okay, you guys, come on down. Head out. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Give it up for our play, our characters, our actors. Come on. Hey, you want to stay with me? You want to stay up here or you want to go with them? You want to stay right here? Here, come stay right here. Don't say anything, okay? Just sit there. You're my, okay. What's your name?
Jack.
Dude, what's up? You like it up here? You like it up here? It's fine. How old are you, Jack? How old are you? 4? I'm 4. T. I'm 40. I'm 10 of you. Yeah. We'll talk later. Just hang right there, okay? Actually, you know what? Here. I'm going to get real emotional in just a second. So let me just help you down. Jack, where's Jack's parents? They left? Oh, leave them here? All right. They're trying to be like Jesus' parents. Leave them at the temple. Come here. There we go. Jack, thank you. Give it up for Jack, everybody. So here's where I want us to finish with this message. I'm switching to my notes on my phone here. Thank you, Jack. Remember what Jesus said. Today, salvation has come to this house because he's a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man did not come to seek. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So I want to ask you to choose your character in this play. First character option is Jesus. Let me just set all of you free. You're not him. Some of you are like, I'll just be Jesus. No, you're not. Second character, maybe you're Zacchaeus. Hey, maybe you're Zacchaeus. And you are a misfit. You don't have any reason to feel welcome as a son of Abraham, as a daughter of Abraham, as a child of God. Maybe the church has limited your access. Maybe you've made mistakes. Maybe your life's not perfect. Maybe you've come from a different religion, or you got a long list of baggage. Maybe you feel like Zacchaeus, or maybe you know a Zacchaeus today. All of you know a Zacchaeus, don't you? You got somebody that you just said they don't fit here. They will never make it. Well, hey, I pray somebody get a hold of their heart. Maybe you're the crowd. Can I tell you something, church people? This is our greatest struggle right here. This is who most of us really are. We're the crowd. And we love our space. We love our gathering. We love our church home. We love, that's my pastor. And we start making this crowd our crowd. And we start finding comfort in the crowd. And we start finding comfort with our shoulders next to each other, just blocking people left and right and keeping people out in the front and just making sure there's no room for that Zacchaeus who we know needs the Lord, but they can find the Lord at another church. You keep coming. You keep coming to see Jesus, but you keep others from seeing him. You complain when Jesus meets them. You're uncomfortable with tax collectors, sinners, drunkards, leopards, homosexuals, blacks, brown people, white people. Can I tell you, churches are full of people who unconsciously or unintentionally or maybe intentionally become a crowd and keep people from Jesus. But the final character of the story is actually my favorite. It's the character I want us to be. It's the tree. Just think about the tree. Some decades prior, God saw fit that a seed would land in that piece of ground on the side of that road, and it would grow for years, season after season, growing, building branches, and that one day its absolute purpose would be to be stepped on and climbed on and in the way, but making a way for Zacchaeus to be seen by Jesus. See, the tree didn't have any prerequisite. The tree didn't have any agenda. The tree was pivotal, crucial, absolutely necessary to the story, but had no agenda, no pretense, no preconditions. It didn't say only Jewish men can climb me, or only white men can climb me, or only black women can climb me. It had no pretense. It's just a quiet part of the story that became so crucial and so pivotal for Zacchaeus not only to see Jesus, but for Jesus to see him. This is who I want us to be. We are a part of a much bigger story in this world. We are silent and unbiased. We serve our purpose, and we silently provide the branches for others to climb all over us. Well, what if it snaps us? What if it's inconvenient? What if I lose some leaves? Who cares? Be the tree. Let somebody step on you. Let somebody climb all over you. Let somebody get in your way and get in your space and make use of you and absolutely make you uncomfortable. Who cares? If it means that they see Jesus and he can see them. See, without the tree, this story doesn't even work. Without the tree being just in that space and being ready, the tree never said, hey, it's Saturday, man. I can't do this today. I've been treeing it up too many days this week. Man, you know how many kids I've been shading this week? I ain't got no time to be a tree today. Can I tell you something? When you complain, you're the crowd. When you quit, you're the crowd. When you hijack vision and complain about the direction of the church and the things we're saying to make room for Zacchaeus, you're the crowd. Hey, church, can I be real blunt with you right now? Can we just shut up and be the tree? Can we just be the tree? Can we let ourselves be stepped on? Can we be inconvenienced? Well, you know, I'd serve, but, oh, man, I'm so busy at work. Shh, be the tree. I'd love to make room for people that don't look like us. I'd love to be in a church where you know, lost people are coming, but man, I don't want to make that happen. I don't want to give into that thing. Could we just shut up and just be the tree? See, the hero of this story is actually the sycamore tree. This, by the way, is some type of maple, and it's for sale at the end of service today. Be the tree. When you serve, you're the tree. When you give, you're the tree. When you host a small group, you're the tree. When you make room for people who don't belong and don't look like you and don't share your background and don't feed you enough, you're simply the tree. Zacchaeus is out there and he's dying to see Jesus. And I believe he's dying to be seen by Jesus too. The reality is, Jesus died to be seen. Another tree tells a story of how much Jesus gave all to be seen by us. Don't try to be Jesus. Don't try to be the crowd. Some of us need to repent of being the crowd too long. Just be the tree. And let me tell you something. If you're Zacchaeus today, I'll be the tree for you. Can I just invite you, if no one in this place and no one watching, if nobody else will serve you, to come to Jesus, step all over me, climb on my life, take advantage of my time, use me, snap twigs out of me. I don't care. This is not my life. I belong to Jesus. I'm fully his. And as long as he'll spend breath out of my body, I will be spent like a tree so that others can come to know Jesus. Look, if nobody else will serve you, I will. Mike Burnett will serve you. My family, we will serve you. And here's what I know. LifePoint Church is committing to be the kind of church where anyone can come here and have their lives changed by Jesus. Climb on us. Step on us. Use us. Abuse us. Take advantage. Look, it's not about us. It's about you coming to know Jesus. That's it. So LifePoint, as we look forward into the next 10 years, would you commit with me to just be a tree? Just let God use you. Lay down your predispositions. Lay down your baggage. Lay down your crowd noise. And just let God see others because you've made a way for them to see him. Did y'all get anything out of this message today? I want to thank our child actors. Come on, you guys are awesome. Let me pray for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you would use us. That you would choose to use us, you would empower us with the word of God. Lord, I pray that every single one of us today would say, Lord, I'm all in. I'm your currency, spend me at your pleasure. That God, we would absolutely be used by the glory of God to see many people far from God come to know Jesus. None of this is about us, God. It's all about you. We refuse to take the attitude of James and John, the sons of thunder, who says, make a place for us, God. We prefer the attitude of John the Baptist, who says, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. God, would you use us? Have your way with us. Spend us at your pleasure. Lord, that many, 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 many thousands of people may come to know the Lord. God, we give you our whole lives, our whole selves. Have your way with us, Jesus. Come on, pray this with me. Say, God, I'm all in. I believe in Jesus, that he died for me. Say, I'll die too, that others can know Christ. Use me, Lord. Have your way with me. I'm all in Jesus' name. To God be the glory. Come on, somebody. Say amen. Amen. Amen.